Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الذي أبدأ الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على من كان نبيا وآدم بين الماء والطين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azim, Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, an-nabiyil ummihi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. وَأَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي رَبَّنَا يَسِّرْ وَلَا تُعَسِّرْ وَتَمِّمْ بِالْخَيْرِ وَبِكَ نَسْتَعِينُ يَا فَتَّاحُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا دُعَاةً إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى رَسُولِكَ اللَّهُمَّ فَقِّهْنَا فِي الدِّينِ وَعَلِّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ الْحَكِيمَ رَبَّنَا زِدْنَا عِلْمًا أَمَّا بَعْدُ The purpose of deen, what is religion? What is religion all about? What is deen? Religion, Islam, deen is to obey commands, obedience. It is to obey commands, not desires. Suspend dhikr when the adhan is called out. Adhan is being called out, but you're doing dhikr. No, galat. Suspend the dhikr when the adhan is called out. Maulana Tanawi, rahmatullah alayhi, wa nawwarallahu marqadahu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim ameen. Maulana Tanawi said, if the adhan is called out, while you are engaged in dhikr, then it is better to suspend the dhikr and respond to the adhan. It should not be considered an interruption in dhikr. Adhan should not be considered an interruption in dhikr. The blessings of the sunan enlighten the core of dhikr. The blessings of the sunan enlighten the core of dhikr, and that is more helpful to dhikr from Anfasi Isa. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damod Barakatuhum, comments on this statement of Maulana Tanwi, alayhi rahma. He says, when a man is engaged in dhikr or recital of the Quran, and the adhan is called out, then he must stop what he is doing and respond to the adhan. This is the sunnah. This is obedience. If you continue reciting Quran, continue doing zikr, then you are following your own desires. And religion is obedience. And he must not suppose that the response to the adhan has interrupted his zikr. He suspended dhikr only to abide by the sunnah. So the essence of zikr is being enlightened by it. It's not an interruption, but the essence of dhikr is being enlightened by it. Thus, instead of being an interruption, it is an aid to dhikr and makes it full of light. In this way, one is abiding by the sunnah. And I have noticed that my principal, the late Bari Hazrat Maulana Abu Saud of Bangalore, that was one of his beautiful practices, that whenever the adhan would be called out, if he would be teaching a class, he would stop and respond to the adhan. If he was engaged in conversation, he would stop and respond to the adhan. If he was reciting, he would stop. If he's in dhikr, he would stop, because that is the sunnah. And sometimes we hear the adhan and just continue what we are doing and talk, and we do not respond to it. But sometimes if we are in a meeting, it comes like if the adhan is an interruption to the meeting now, or an interruption to our Quran, interruption to dhikr, galat, wrong. Religion, deen, is to accommodate the demands of time, do things in their proper time, and that is deen. This is what Dr. Abdul Hai, who was the Sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani, this is what he used to say. To do what the time demands is religion. Simple, short and sweet, but powerful. If we could only understand this. To do what the time demands is religion and deen. Do that which is suitable at that time. Let it not be that you will do only that which you had resolved to do. Let it not be that you will do only that which you had resolved to do and nothing less. That's not deen. If there is demand to do something else in between, you feel upset because you're about to do something, you resolve to do something. But if there is a demand to do something else in between, you feel upset. This is what his Sheikh used to say, Dr. Abdul Hai. This is a very useful advice for people like us who are engaged in studying or writing. You're in Darul Uloom, you're in Madrasa, you're studying, adhan is called out. Let it not be like an interruption or distraction or you're writing. This is very useful advice for people like us who are engaged in studying or writing. Visitors, when busy writing. I, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, I have many things to attend to. He's a very busy man indeed. Therefore, I have chalked out a timetable for myself and do different things according to schedule. So I have chalked out a timetable for myself and do different things according to schedule. So when I am interrupted, I feel it is very difficult and painful to accommodate that, because I have a timetable to work with and don't want to become interrupted. Writing for whom? So I told my Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hai Rahmatul Alayh, about it, about this feeling of mine. He gave me such an advice that I have never again felt bad about any interruption. He said, my Sheikh told me, Mufti Taqi Usman is saying, you feel bad because you have chalked out your schedule, your program on your own. So if you go according to your schedule, you find it pleasing. But if there is an interruption in your schedule and program, you feel displeasure. Tell me, you do it for Allah or to become a writer or to satisfy your desire to complete the writing? Why are you doing it for in the first place? If you wish to become a writer and complete your work, then you are right in finding it hard on you and visitors coming at this time and interrupting your program. But if you have the pleasure of Allah in mind, then as long as He, Allah, is pleased that you should write, carry on. And if you get a visitor, know that Allah is pleased at this visitor's coming. It is sunnah to honor the guest. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wa bil yawmil akhir," whoever truly is of the belief in Allah, he believes in Allah on the last day, "falyukrim dhaifahu," then let him treat his guest with respect. Let him show honor to the guest. "Falyukrim dhaifahu." So it is sunnah to honor the guest. Or you may be interrupted in any other way. It is always Allah's will. It is always Allah's will. Whatever happens, it happens by the will of Allah. Because if Allah doesn't will something, it will not happen. It's how we react, how you react, how I react. "Wow, this man coming at this time. I'm busy doing my work. This is the time you choose to come here now." It is always Allah's will. So you do not lose anything if your writing is interrupted or your studies. You do not lose anything. That which you were doing was for Allah's pleasure. When you were doing your writing and studying or whatever you were doing, it was for Allah's pleasure. And what you have to do now is also His will and Allah's pleasure. So the objective is to gain Allah's pleasure, whichever means you employ. Mufti Taqi Usmani said, "When I got that advice from my sheikh, this gave me peace of heart." And he began to look at life and take things in life differently now. And let's face it, we act the same way. We act the same way. It happens to us. For Allah, either way, man is after all what he is. He is what he is. Man does not like his schedule and program to be upset. "No, I have a plan to work with, timetable, schedule." This is natural. He becomes upset. But intellectually, he is satisfied that whichever work he performs is for Allah. It is for Allah. He should do what Allah enables him to do. So one must see what the Sharia demands of him. And this is deen. To see what the Sharia demands of you. Doing things in time. What is the demand of the time? To obey commands. Obedience is deen. And not to follow one's own desires. So religion is not to abide by one's desires. Maulana Masihullah Khan, rahmatullah alayhi. What a name. What a personality. Maulana Shaf Ali Thanwi had many khalifas. Two of his great khalifas were Maulana Wasiullah, who gave khilafat to Maulana Qamaruzzaman, who visited our shores. He got his khilafat directly from Maulana Wasiullah. He has one link to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. And one of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi's, one of his other khalifas was Maulana Masihullah of Jalalabad. Remember Jalalabad? That was Maulana Masihullah. Very methodical in his tarbiyat and teaching and training and ways of suluk and tasawwuf. This Maulana Masihullah Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, wa nawwara Allahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim amin, often said that religion is not to fulfill one's personal whims. Rather, religion, deen, is to do what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. We must not insist on following our likes only. Our parents may be ill and need us, but we have already made up our mind to become an alim, a scholar, a maulana. So we will join a madrasa and leave them alone to care for themselves. Or we have already made up our mind to go for our 40 days or a chilla. So we just leave and we go on. Religion demands that we give up studies and serve our parents. Because if you're doing it for the sake of Allah, what is the demand of the time to serve your parents? You go to madrasa to become a maulana, that's for your own whims and fancies, your own desire. That's not deen. I wish to become a mufti. Many students come to me, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, and express their desire to become a mufti and to undertake studies to that end. But their parents are not happy with that, because their parents need them. So this is not religion. They should obey their parents. Obey their parents. A desire to preach. There's a desire to preach and give dawat and do tabligh and go out for 40 days and one chillah. Similarly, if one's wife is ill and no other mahram is there, she doesn't have any other mahram to look after her, no brother or no son, then it is not religion to go on a preaching journey for tabligh of, say, 40 days. You're going for 40 days now is not religion. That's not deen. That's what you want. That's what you like. That's not what Allah likes. That is not the demand of the time. Religion and Islam ask us to look after the sick. This is not a worldly task. Looking after the sick is not a worldly task, but also a demand of religion. So much so, one may give up even congregational salat. Sometimes one could even give up salat in jamaat. When one has the true understanding of deen, Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi gave an example of this. Someone lives in a desert. Someone lives in a desert with his wife. There is no one around in the desolate place. He wants to go, and who is saying this? Maulana Masihullah. He wants to go to the masjid in the distant village, but his wife is scared and pleads with him to stay home. Stay home, she begs him and offers salat. I don't feel comfortable, please. And the place is desolate, village is off. However, he is adamant and will not budge, doesn't want to give up. He leaves her alone, scared and frightened, and he goes to the masjid. Maulana Masihullah Khan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said that this is not religion. This is not deen, but acting on one's own whims and fancies and desires. He should have offered salat there and saved his wife from inconvenience, because the kind of inconvenience he put her through, wow. We're not talking, you know, in a populated place, says Maulana Masihullah. In a populated place like a city and a town and like where we live, and Charlieville and Monroe Road and Warrenville, etc. However, he should go to the masjid to offer salat, because there are people around, neighbors around, all these things. In a populated place, however, he should go to the masjid to offer salat. People have different kinds of desires, different kinds of desires, and these are desires from preaching, tabligh, becoming a mufti, but they should pay heed to the rights of other people. It is the demand of time to pay them their rights. Look at the story of Sayyiduna Uwais Al-Qarni Rahmatullah Alayhi, who lived in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but did not even see the Prophet, which did not make him a Sahabi. He lived in the time of the Prophet. He loved the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he did not go to see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Look at the case of Sayyiduna Uwais Al-Qarni Rahmatullah Alayhi. One cannot hope for a greater honor than having a glimpse of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is a greater honor than that? In his time, to be in his companionship, to see him, and even in our time, who would not like to have a glimpse of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To see him in a dream, to get some ru'ya, as-saliha, some glimpse of him. It is the station of the sahabi. That is what made sahaba, sahaba. That they saw the Nabi in a state of iman. It is the maqam and the station of the sahabi, which one cannot achieve without meeting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But how fortunate we would be if we in a state of iman see him sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Allah's will and Allah's permission. Through a ru'ya to salia, through some pious dream or something. But you know what? But Uwais Al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi was denied that station. Great man like him, Uwais Al-Qarni. But he was denied that station of becoming a what? A sahabi. Do you know why? Because he was needed at home to serve his mother. He was needed at home to do khidmat to his mother. He understood what is Islam, what is religion. What would have been more better to go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But he was needed at home to serve his mother. The result was that Allah Ta'ala granted Uwais Al-Qarni a very distinguished position. He gave him a very distinguished position. So much so, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. I mean, who Umar is? Umar is Umar. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Law kana nabiyun badi. If there were to be a prophet after me, lakana Umara. He would have been Umar. So many times revelation came down in accordance to what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had said. Shaitan was so afraid of Umar that he would take another part. If Umar is on this side, he would take the other side. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And hear what the Nabi alayhi salam instructed Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, Uwais al-Qarni is a great man who will come from Qarn. And when the Rasul said, say something, it will come to pass. It hasn't happened as yet, but he's telling Umar that Uwais is a great man who will come from Qarn. That's why he is called Al-Qarni. When he comes to you, request him to pray for you. Request him to pray for you, to make dua for you, for your forgiveness. And in some riwayats, to make dua for the Ummah also. Wow. So the Nabi is saying, when he comes to you, and he will come to you, request him to pray and make dua for your forgiveness, and in some narrations, for the forgiveness of the Ummah also. That is deen. And what a better example than this. Shaykh is needed at such times. This recognition is received when one acts in obedience and according to the demands of time. One cannot follow personal desires. Therefore, a shaykh is needed to guide. Otherwise, a man would be lost and overcross the limits or go very short of it. I am not against them, lest anyone should misquote me, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, and say that I discourage people from becoming a mufti or undertaking tabligh and going for 40 days or participating in jihad. These are all tasks that please Allah. So let people not misquote me. They are all tasks that please Allah if done at the right time. And that is what Deen is about, if done at the right time. We must see what is necessary at the time and act accordingly. We must not propose our own way, for that is not Deen. Religion is to follow what Allah says. As Mufti Zarwali Damat Barakat used to say, another name for religion, for Islam, is ittiba, following, obedience, al-ittiba. A conduct that seems faithful but is resentful cannot be approved. A conduct that seems faithful but is resentful cannot be approved. You know what? There's a statement, a happily married woman is drunk. What that means? Hence, the real thing is to see if the deed is pleasing to Allah or not. My respected father, Mufti Shafi, Rahmatul Alay, gave a proverbial example of the Hindi language, which meant literally that a happily married woman is one who is drunk. The story behind it is that a bride was being adorned. So this is a proverb in proverbial language, in the Urdu language or Hindi language. A happily married woman is drunk. How did this proverb come about? The story behind it is that a bride was being adorned. After she had had her makeup, whoever saw her praised her. But she did not express any happiness on their praise. She kept absolute quiet. Her friends asked her why she was not pleased with their praise. She said, "Why should I be pleased with your praise, which will evaporate into thin air? After some time, your praise is going to evaporate into thin air. With your going away, it's going to evaporate into thin air. Why should I be pleased with that? I would be happy if he for whom I am adorned likes me, then I'll be happy. My life would then be a success. If he likes me, then my life would be a success. But if he does not like me, what is the purpose of this makeup? And what use is your praise when you go away?" Which is a good example for us too, that when we do acts and people praise us, do we feel happy for that praise? That praise evaporates into thin air after they go away. Is whether he likes it. Does Allah like it? Is Allah pleased or not? That is what counts. Just like the bride, whether her husband is pleased or not, which should encourage us to do things only for the sake of Allah. See what he likes. After quoting the proverb, my father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, would say, "When you do something, then see if he for whom you do it would like it." Would like it. If people tell you that you are a great mufti, what a mufti, wow. You are a great maulawi, you are a great maulawi, a great maulwi. You are a great muballigh, what a da'i he is, a great preacher. Or a great mujahid, what a great mujahid he is. Then what happens? What happens? What do you get? What do you get? Now this is different from encouragement, you know. Sometimes somebody does something good, you could encourage a person, like the father encourages the child, or the teacher encourages the student. Some words of praise by way of encouragement, this is good. That's different. But just praise, wow. What a mufti boy, what a maulwi, what a da'i, what a muballig, what a great mujahid. Then what happens? What do you get? What do you get? Only if he for whom you are doing something approves of it, are you a success. For the deeds are done only to please him. And if he doesn't approve, you're a failure. You're a failure. Ma'adallah. That's why this part is so important. Because sometimes we get so carried away. That's why the real great mashayikh and the people of Allah, sometimes they socialize with people, but much of the time they prefer to be in solitude and don't try to praise them like in some public gathering. You have a speaker and this, that, and our guest speaker for today is so-and-so, and sort of titles and a whole long 10 minutes bayan on the person. No. Is Allah saying all that? And then the crowd is saying, wow, and watching him. And then his ego is swelling too. What happens? So back to the topic. Remember how we started, Abdullah? Remember how the lesson started? How we started with what? With the azan. Respond to the azan. And this is something that we are lacking. You see it in all masjids. Adhan start. Somebody reading Quran, they feel like the adhan is a hindrance to the Quran. You're doing zikr, adhan start, is like it interfere with your zikr. You're in a meeting, adhan start, you still want to push your talk quick. The adhan taking up time. You want to finish the meeting. That is not religion. Religion is to do what is a demand of that time, and that time is to respond to the adhan. It is a sunnah that will enhance your zikr, enlighten your zikr, as our principal Bari Hazrat from Bangalore showed us by way of example. And I see very few people doing that today. Most people don't even take on the adhan, talk and gossip. Even those involved in dawat and tabligh too. You're given dawat, but yet still sometimes you see in the markaz, in ijtima, azan calling and everybody talking. And azan is called a dawatu tamma, complete azan. So, just to make you remember what was said at the beginning, respond to the azan. If that is the case, then one must see what is expected of him. Thus, we are told that we should suspend dhikr and respond to the azan. If we argue that time is wasted in that, and we could have recited more, then we are not obeying the command. We are not obeying the command to stop zikr. There is benefit only in stopping the zikr. That will enhance your zikr, bring nur in your zikr. So everything lies in our command. Everything lies in our command. What that means, understand the statement. Look at Hajj. Hajj is an amazing form of ibadat, worship, prescribed by Allah Himself. Wa arina manasikana. At every step of its rites, He, Allah, has smashed the images of rules. In Hajj, all rules are broken. In every step of rites, He, Allah, has smashed the images of rules. For example, the reward of every salat in Masjidul Haram is equal to 100,000 salat in Al Masjidul Haram in Mecca, equivalent to 100,000 salat. But the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, are commanded to forsake the Masjid, leave Masjidul Haram, and go to Mina and stay there for a day and leave Al-Masjidul Haram. What is there at Mina? At Mina there is nothing to do and there is no haram there either. The only command is to offer the 5 salat at Mina. Having forsaken the 100,000 salat reward in Mecca, the command shows that neither is there anything in the Kaaba nor in the Haram. It's not in the Kaaba. It's not in the Haram. It is an obedience to Allah. That's what Allah wants to show. Smashing all the rules, all the images of rules, Allah has smashed it in Hajj. So this command to go to Mina shows that neither is there anything in the Kaaba nor in the haram. What is important is obedience to the command. When we asked you, Allah, as though Allah is saying, when we asked you to offer salat in al-Masjid al-Haram, there was the promised reward of 100,000 times. But when we said, give up salat in al-Masjid al-Haram, then if you insist on offering it there, you would commit a sin. Everything lies, therefore, in our command. As the same thing about the Qibla, أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. That when the Yahud, because the Rasul alayhi salam is to pray towards Baitul Muqaddas in the early days, he used to pray, that was his Qibla, but he always longed that the Qibla be changed towards Makkah. And then the command came for him to change, and that is the place known today as Masjid al-Qiblatayn. And he turned, and then the Jews started to speak and say, you know, what caused him to change and turn away from the Qibla? And Allah revealed certain verses concerning that. The aim is obedience. Take the example of Salah. How strongly are we told to offer salat on time? Offer salat on time. The Quran says, Inna salata kanat alal mu'minina kitabam mawquta. Surely the salat is prescribed for the believers at appointed times. Mawquta ay muwakkatan. The verse impresses upon us that we must offer salat on time. A hadith instructs us to be quick to offer the Maghrib Salah. But you know what? The sun had set when they were at Arafah. The sun had set. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that no one should offer Maghrib Salat. And the sun had set in Arafah. Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu reminded him again and again. Bilal was saying, As-salatu ya Rasulallah, As-salatu ya Rasulallah. In reply the Rasul said, As-salatu amamaka. The salat is in front of you. It is in front. It is in Muzdalifah. It is in front, not here. The salat is later. As-salatu amamaka. That is, we will offer it at Muzdalifah. Very clearly, the message was that the time is not a factor in itself. Time is not a factor in itself. What matters is Allah's command. When we asked you, as though Allah is saying, when we asked you to hurry up with the Maghrib Salat, you had to offer it at the earliest time and don't delay it. When we ask you to delay it, you will obey us. Thus, at every step during Hajj, the regular rules have been changed so that people might not sanctify them. It's not about the rules. Don't sanctify the rules. It's about obedience. We are taught through it in Hajj. We are taught that nothing is the aim in itself. Neither salat, nor worship, nor fasting. Rather, our real aim is obedience to Allah. Hurry with the iftar. One of the commands of the Sharia is to make haste in iftar, that is the breaking of the fast, to do quickly with that. It is makruh to delay iftar. To delay it unnecessarily is makruh. Why? Because Allah had disallowed us to eat or drink during fasting, and promise a reward for that, saying, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. the fast is for me, and I will give the reward. So we hastened by to break the fast. But again, it is Allah's command to break the fast without delay. And if you do that, you will amend the timings on your own. So the whole day you are without food and drink. Now it's time to break the fast. But you're showing that, you know what, I could still stay without food and drink for a little more time, because whole day without it, I had a rush for. But again, if it is Allah's command to break the fast, whole day without food and drink, think about it. You're thirsty. Whole day without food and drink. So it shows that if you want to rush and break the iftar, so you're really thirsty, boy, you're really hungry. It kind of showing that in a kind of form. But again, it is Allah's command to break the fast without delay. And if you do that, you will amend the timings on your own. Delay the sahar. In the same way, it is better to delay sahri, the pre-dawn meal, sahar, before fasting. If anyone goes to sleep having had his meal before time, then he is contravening the sunnah. The sahar or sahri should be had at the very last limit. And this is the sunnah. To have it early and go to sleep is tantamount to revise the timings on our own. So we are being told everywhere, we are being told that religion, Islam, is obedience to Allah. Another word for Islam is al-ittiba. You are his worshipper, slave, who should do as he says. And this is so such a beautiful piece of advice. You know, there's a difference between a servant and a slave. One is a khadim, khidmat, servant, and one is a slave. There's a big difference. Mufti Muhammad Hassan Amritsari Rahmatullah Alayh often defined a servant as one who discharged his duties at particular times, after which he was free to go and do what he liked. Wow, so deep, eh? Mufti Muhammad Hassan Al-Amritsari, Rahmatullah Alayh, often defined a servant as one who discharged his duties at particular times, after which he was free to go and do what he liked. But a slave, on the other hand, had no timings. He has no timings and no defined duties. He was bound by the command of his master 24 hours every day. He has no timings and no defined duties. A slave is bound by the command of his master 24 hours every day. Hadha huwa al-farq bayna al-qadim wal-abd. An abd defined. Abd, a slave defined. However, there is beyond the slave the Abdullah. One is the normal slave, which your right hands possess. That's your slave, like back in the olden days. And one is what? What's the other one? A slave of Allah. However, there is beyond the slave, the Mamluk. Who is beyond that? The Abd, the Abdullah, the slave of Allah. Slave of Allah, Abdullah. While the slave does not worship his master, someone who is mamluk, owned, that type of slave doesn't worship his master, but he is duty bound, he's on call 24 hours. While the slave does not worship his master, the Abdullah does worship Allah. He is not slave to his own will, no, but to the will of his master. He cannot decide for himself. A slave cannot decide for himself. He can marry on his own. He can do bay and shira on his own. That is the case of a mamluk. What about a slave of Allah? He cannot decide for himself. All the bid'ah innovations are cast out in this way, because one submits to the will and the command of Allah. That is religion. That is Islam. And sometimes we think we know what is Islam, but we're still on the cover and haven't even touched the pages. Conclusion. In short, we must observe the demands of time. Demands of time. What Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, want us to do in a particular situation, do that. Do that. That is why Maulana Thanawi, rahmatullah alayhi, said to respond to the adhan. And that's how we started, Abdullah, with the same quote of Maulana Thanawi. That's why he said, to respond to the adhan is not an interruption in your zikr or interruption in your tilawat or your meeting or anything. Rather, to respond to the adhan, it is the demand of the time that the zikr should be suspended and a response should be given to the adhan. May Allah cause us to conduct ourselves on these teachings. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen. The next lesson is so beneficial, especially for talibul ilm and ulama and dars and tadris, and beneficial for everybody. Until next week, inshallah.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?